Well, I would just like to share my testimony with you tonight, and that is why I read from Psalm 66 and John chapter 8 and the verse 36. For Psalm 66, the psalmist says there in verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And I want to do that tonight. I'm not here to speak about myself, but I want to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for my soul. For in verse 17 there, I can identify with the psalmist where he said, "I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." And then he says in verse number 19, how that the Lord heard his prayer and heard the voice of his prayer. And he, in verse 20, blesses the Lord for hearing his prayer and not turning away his prayer nor his mercy from him. Now, the psalmist here in Psalm 66, he is telling his hearers to praise the Lord for all his wonderful works and gracious benefits. And in verse 16 particularly, that word fear, he is speaking to the people of God, those who revere God, those who have that reverence for the Lord. And the psalmist wants to tell them what God has done for his soul. And that is simply what I would like to do for a few moments this evening. In giving my testimony tonight, I give Almighty God alone all the praise, the honour and the glory for his wonderful salvation. And I would like to give my testimony under three headings tonight. First of all, my Christian upbringing, then my Christian conversion, and my Christian service. You know, that word testify or testimony in the Old Testament, one of the meanings of it is to say again and again, or to affirm. And the psalmist here was affirming what the Lord had done for him. And that's what I would like to do tonight with the Lord's help, that he would help me to affirm to you tonight what he has done and is doing in my life. That word testimony in the New Testament, it carries the thought of being a witness. And it is to do with the preacher's personal experience. And as somebody who is trying to be a preacher, to learn how to be a preacher, I just want to share some experiences of how the Lord has dealt with me and saved me and kept me till this very day. So first of all, my Christian upbringing. The Apostle Paul, when writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and the verse 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I, like Timothy, had the great privilege of being brought up in a Christian upbringing, a Christian home, a Christian environment. My home was a home where I was not only loved by my parents, but I was also instructed in the things of God. And I can truly say that my mum, especially, had a great spiritual impact upon my life. And even her father, my late grandfather, he was a godly farmer. And I remember many times as a teenager going down to the farm, and my granda would have talked to me about spiritual things, and that was a privilege and a blessing as well. And I remember many occasions where my mum would have read and prayed with myself and then my younger sister and brother when they came along. And if any of you is trying to work out how old I am, I'm 31. I know I don't look it, but I'd probably look a bit older after I've completed my fourth year, no doubt, in the will of the Lord. But I was, I can recall many, many times where my mum would have prayed with me and sang to me before I would have went to sleep. Particularly that little children's chorus, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And the Bible tells us that the parents are to train up a child in the way he should go. When many is old, he will not depart from it. And it's good to see little children in the meeting house today, both in the morning and evening meetings, and I commend you for that, and I pray the Lord will bless you for that in the days to come. I was sent along to a local Presbyterian church in Cookstown, as where I come from, and I remember being faithfully taught in Sunday school and even in the boys' brigade about my need of God's salvation. And that was a privilege, for we know that there's many churches and different denominations where there is no gospel preached. Well, I can truly, and I must be faithful and honest, that I was faithfully taught and I knew my need of salvation, that I was a sinner from a very early age. And I really loved attending Sunday school and Boys' Brigade, for I loved to hear the Bible lessons and to learn the choruses and the memory verses, and I must confess as well to get the sweets as well, as we all do, I'm sure. But the Bible tells us that we are born in shapen, and we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In sin our mothers have conceived us. Psalm 51 and the verse 5. And I, as I said, I love to attend these meetings to hear all these lessons and choruses and memory verses. And I was also sent along to a local Christian Endeavour meeting in the Methodist Church for a period of time, as well as attending many holiday Bible clubs as well. Yet at the age of 8, I realized that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And I remember, I can't remember the night or the day or the date or time, but I remember one night asking the Lord into my heart to save me. And I had that professional faith. In primary school, it's not too hard to live as a Christian. But when I was moved from primary school to secondary school, that is where things certainly change. And I know those of you who've been there can identify with that, for you're exposed to a lot more of the world, and certainly I was exposed to a lot more of the world than I had been in my home. In fact, I had very little of the world's influences in our home regarding alcohol and bad language and all those different sorts of things. And I thank God for a stable home, and I thank God for preserving me and my family from those sinful vices. And truly it is a privilege and a blessing of the Lord and a providence of the Lord to be able to say that tonight. I remember in my early high school years, certainly first year and second year, of having doubts of God's salvation. And I remember asking the Lord into my heart many times. Perhaps you can identify with that tonight. Perhaps that is you. You still have doubts of whether you're really saved or not. Well, you know, friend, tonight, if that is you, I would just like to turn you to Romans chapter 10 and the verse 13. You can probably quote it off word for word. But even as I said this morning, if we doubt God's word, we will not be spiritually blessed. And you know, if Christ came and lived and died upon the cross to save us from our sins, for us to lose our salvation, well then the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice would not be of any worth at all if we could lose our salvation. And I say that reverently tonight. But you know, once the Lord saves a sinner, once a soul is saved by Christ, that soul will never be lost. Look at what Paul says in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice that word there, whosoever. That includes anybody. That doesn't leave out anybody. No matter what your religious background or your culture, your whatever language you speak, whatever skin color you are, it doesn't matter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Look at that word shall. It's not maybe. It's not won't. It's not could be or can't be. But it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel, that you can be saved and you will be saved. And the Lord will keep you, for he is able to keep you even though you're not able to keep yourself. Even though I'm not able to keep myself, God has kept me right up to this very day. And even in high school, I did not really take my stand for the Lord as I could have done or should have done. Yes, I still attended church, progressed on to Bible class at that time, and up through the ranks of the BB. But I never really, I maybe didn't engage in what my fellow classmates would have engaged in regard to the things of the world, but I never stood firm and fast for the Lord. I never sought to be a strong witness for him. And I am ashamed of that. And I must say, if that is something which you're perhaps afraid of, or maybe you're not doing yourself, let me urge upon you, young person, to take your stand for the Lord. You know, there's a lot of ungodly people out there in schools and universities and the workplace. And, you know, the Lord's called us to be a witness for him, just to shine for him. We're not all preachers, I understand that. But we can all be shining lights for him. We can all, even with his help, speak a word if the Lord would open up the opportunity. And I pray that the Lord would give us opportunities in these days to speak to the lost and unsaved about the need of their Saviour. Fast forwarding on to my teenage years, I continued, as I said, attending church, and I read my Bible and I prayed, but looking back, it was not enough. I wasn't really growing in my knowledge of the things of God, doctrinally wise. I attended church, and I perhaps was not living as other ones were living, but I certainly was not living as close to the Lord as I could have been. I want to come now to my Christian conversion. Now, that word converted in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And that word converted there signifies a turning to. In other words, it means a turning to worship the true God, or perhaps a returning to the love and obedience of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in, John 3 and verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And even though I believed I was saved when I was 8 years of age, my life was not as it should have been as a Christian. I had fallen into sin, and I may have hid it from everybody else that knew me, but deep down in my heart I knew my life was not what it ought to have been. As a Christian, my heart was not right before the Lord, and my heart needed to be right with God. My sin needed to be dealt with, but yet I continued on, and the Spirit of the Lord convicted me of my sin, the way I was living at that time, and praise God, the Lord never left me. He didn't abandon me, but he convicted me. He reproved me for the way in which I was living. And I knew that I could not continue on living this way. And because of my Christian upbringing, I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way. I did not seek to go after other religions or any other cults or anything like that. I just knew in my heart of hearts that Christ was the only way. You know, he tells us that in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So I was about 16 years of age when things started to go wrong for me in my own heart of hearts with the Lord. And when I came to my GCSEs, all I wanted to do was to go to Greenmount and learn how to be a farmer. Although I was not brought up on a farm, my parents came from farms, and I always had that interest. And I just had to green out of my sights to go to. But my mum persuaded me to stay on at school, which I did, and did my A-levels at school. And I'm glad I did, because while I was in upper sixth at the high school there in Cookstown, I saw an advert for a youth meeting out in Stuartstown, if you know where that is. It's just outside Cookstown, about 10 minutes. And it was an advertisement for a youth meeting called The Rescue, which was held in the Baptist Church Hall at that time. Now, it took place on the second Saturday of every month, and a friend of mine decided we would go one night to hear and to see what it was like, and that was April 2018. And I remember that night hearing a powerful testimony of a believer who fell away from God into alcoholism. But yet, in the mercy of the Lord, that man got restored, and the Lord delivered him from the grip that alcohol had upon his life. And certainly I desired what that man had. I attended the next couple of monthly meetings in May and June. And then in July of that year, they had a two-week tent mission out the back of that hall in a field. Now, because I had not my own car at that time, I wasn't able to get to the first week of it. But Sunday the 6th of July was a night, and is a night I will never forget. And it is a night where the matter was dealt and settled with for time and for eternity. And that was the night where I came. And I certainly knew that the matter was settled regarding my soul's salvation. The reason I turned you to John chapter 8 this evening, and we read a few verses there, was because at the very start of that meeting, the man leading that meeting that night, he read John chapter 8 and 36. And Jesus said there, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And then there was a young fellow testifying that night about how the Lord had saved him and set him free from his sin. And then when the preacher got up to preach, who was the man who had testified a couple of months previously, well, this all just dovetailed together. For he was preaching that night from John 8, 32 to 36. So it was all in the providence of the Lord. And that verse just really spoke to me that night, where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of being made free, and that is being made free by Christ. He is the Son of God, and if he makes you free, you shall be free. Indeed, that's the wonderful message of the gospel tonight. If you're still in your sin tonight, you can be set free from sin's power and, praise God, its penalty by coming to the Son of God. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 2 and 20. So after the meeting that night, I spoke with the man who was leading the meeting, and I was the sort of fellow who just bottled everything up, and I just broke down and wept like a child and confessed my sin. And the man leading the meeting that night pointed me to Psalm 51, which I read a few verses from a few moments ago. I'm sure we all know that psalm very well. It's a psalm of David, where David had been confronted by Nathan the prophet over his sin with Bathsheba. And David cries to God there in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And this verse really, verse 12, really spoke to me. And I cried out unto the Lord to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And I can truly say that the Lord did that for me that night. The only way I can describe it to you is that somebody had come in with a big crane and lifted the burden of my sin from off my shoulders. And it was amazing. And you know, salvation makes a change. And simply in a moment of time, I knew the peace of God flooding my soul. I knew the joy of the Lord that was unspeakable. And I can faithfully say tonight that I had that assurance of God's salvation. I just knew in my heart that God had heard my prayer and he had answered, and he had given me that assurance that I was saved and that my soul was right with him and that I was a child of God. And let me urge upon you, if you have those doubts tonight, come to him, cry on to him, and open his word and take him at his word, dear child of God, and doubt God's salvation no more. Do not doubt his word anymore. Take him at his word. You may not be able to trust the word of men, but you can trust the word of God. You can place your full confidence and trust in him, for he has never broken his promise. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never turn away the one who will come to him who seeks him. But you must seek him tonight if you're not a Christian. Let me urge upon you, salvation is vital. It's the most important thing you can consider tonight. Your soul is the most valuable part of you tonight. And your soul will go and live in either heaven or hell, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. And let me urge upon you that your soul must be saved. That's why we're here tonight. We're here to tell you about Christ, the mighty to save. You need to be saved tonight. Sinners need to be saved tonight. And there's only one way to be saved, and that is by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I attended the following nights of that mission, and truly I was not perfect by any means. I was not a sinlessly perfect Christian from then on, far from it. But I can truly say that I had that desire and that zeal to live for him and to go on with him. Now, in September of that year, I commenced studies in Greenmount, and I'm glad I did, because if I was not right with God when I commenced in Greenmount, I would dread to think where I would be tonight. For it's a place where many young fellows go wild, go out partying and clubbing and drinking. But praise God, the Lord saved me from that, and the Lord preserved me, and even gave me Christian company and friends while I was there, at Greenmount. And I would just like to apply those few verses from Psalm number 66 again. You know, before I was restored that night, I was regarding sin in my heart. And you know, the psalmist says there in Psalm number 18, or 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Another way of saying that is if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, the Lord cannot have sin in his presence. Sin separates man from God. Sin separated Adam from God in the Garden of Eden. And sin must be confessed. Sin must be covered by the blood of Christ. That's what that word atonement means in the Old Testament. There'll be a covering for sin. And praise God, your sin can be covered tonight. Your sin can be cleansed tonight in the blood of the Lamb. For the Bible tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousnesses. Praise his name. And you know, he cried unto him. The psalmist cried unto him. And I cried out unto the Lord that night in that tent mission. And that was Sunday the 6th of July, 13 years past there, a few weeks ago. And it's only by the grace of God that I am standing here tonight. The Lord has kept me. The Lord has been good to me. And I give him all the glory and honor and praise for that. And just as the psalmist cried out unto the Lord and said that verily God hath attended to the voice of my prayer. God attended to the voice of my prayer. And I want to say, blessed be God tonight, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Dear friend, tonight he won't turn away your prayer. If you come to him and you lift up your heart before him in prayer tonight, he will not turn away your prayer, for he is a God of mercy. Notice there he says, he has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Praise God, we have a God who is merciful tonight. You know that mercy means that we do not receive what we deserve. We deserve judgment. We deserve condemnation. And before we're saved, we are under condemnation. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's the key, that you're in Christ. Not in a church, not in a creed or denomination, but that you're in Christ. And that's all that matters tonight. If you want to be saved, you must be in him tonight. Trust in him and believe in him. Lastly, I want to come to my Christian service. I would like to read those well-known verses in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And Solomon says there in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, verses which came to me many times in my 20s. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And another psalm that came a lot to me and was written upon my heart was Psalm 32 in the verse 8. I'm sure perhaps many of you could recite it. And the psalmist says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And praise God, he is the one who will instruct us. He is the one who will teach us in the way which we ought to go. And he will guide us with his eye. Again, as we thought this morning about the Saviour and their Saviour looking upon those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, so the Lord has watched over me and he will watch over you, dear child of God, with his eye, and he will keep you and he will be the one that will instruct us and teach us in the way which we ought to go. Yes, it's good to get advice from fellow believers and godly men, but ultimately it is the Lord that will lead us. It is the Lord that will guide us in the way which we ought to go. The Lord used many different verses to speak to me over the years since my restoration that night at the mission. And in my early 20s, I remember being exercised many times about doing something for the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter in John chapter 20, he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Or in other words, Peter, do you love me? And we know that Peter says, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And three times the Lord tells Peter to do something. The first instance he says, feed my lambs. And then the second two instances he says, feed my sheep. The Lord also told his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And, you know, my desire was to be involved in agriculture. I finished in Greenmount. I went over to Edinburgh for a year. And the Lord was good in giving me good Christian fellowship and company over in Edinburgh as well. And then when I came home, I got a job in a meat factory for 2.5 years. And then I worked on a pig farm before I came in to college. But the Lord had to deal with me. And I had to give up this desire of seeking to pursue a career in agriculture. And you know, at the end of the day, that may have been what I have wanted to do, but when I consider what the Lord has done for me and how he saved me and how he's kept me, well, how could I say no to him? And I don't want to disobey him. I trust that that's your desire tonight, dear believer, that you would not want to disappoint or that you would not want to disobey the Lord, but seek to be faithful and seek to go on with him. You see, Christ said, if we want to follow him, if we are going to come after him, we have to deny ourselves. You see, we have to take self off the throne of our hearts. God must be on the throne of our hearts. You know, the hymn writer says, gladly dethroning each rival, yield I my heart unto thee. And so as the Lord said to the disciples that day, that we must take up our cross to follow him. You know, being a Christian, there are many difficulties, and we all will have a cross to bear if we are to follow him. And all I wanted to do was to be involved in agriculture, as I said. But over the years, the Lord used different instances and circumstances to challenge me about this. For example, I had the privilege of being involved in an outreach in my own town of Cookstown. I remember there was many people coming from all arts and parts of the Northern Ireland and even the south of Ireland to Cookstown for nightclubbing and drinking. And I had the privilege with other believers to be a witness in seeking to giving out tea and coffee and talking with people. And what surprised me most from that experience, those experiences, was that the Protestant people want nothing to do with it. But yet the Roman Catholic people, they were very open and they were very sincere, and they would have took a tract or they would have took a cup of tea. And I remember many so-called Protestants walking past. They wanted nothing to do with the things of God. And that's a very sad state for so-called Protestant people tonight in our province. And may the Lord open their eyes to see their need of the Saviour, and even that the Lord would save them and save those dear Roman Catholic people who think that they will get to heaven by their religion. But also that I had the privilege of not only being involved in a street reach, but in going to Poland on missionary teams with Hope for Youth Ministries, and even serving in my local church at that time. As I said, I was still in the Presbyterian church at that time, and my minister, he gave me opportunities to speak, and that started me off on the journey I am currently on tonight. In the Presbyterian church at that time, there was a scheme called the Accredited Preachers Scheme, and that was simply a course to get your name on a list for ministers to ring if they're on holiday, or if there was a vacant church for you to go and preach. And that was honestly my desire, just to go and to tell men and women that they needed to be saved. Now, the structure may not have been too good, and there's many other things about the sermons perhaps were needed a lot of work, but my earnest desire was just to go and to exalt the Saviour and to tell people of their need to be saved. But I was unsuccessful in that course, and the Lord, I believe, used that to speak to me, to show me that that was not where I was to be. And over the years, the Lord showed me just that it was important to take my stand for him, and even to separate from churches which were involved in ecumenicalism. And even though my own church particularly was not involved in those things, but yet I had to seriously, prayerfully consider and seek the face of God over these things. And even though it was a very hard and difficult decision, the Lord spoke to me, and I, as I said, I wanted to be faithful and seek to go on with him. And I had that desire and passion to see souls saved for the Lord. And even though that door shut for me, I believe the Lord was using that to show me that he was going to take me on a different direction. So I left the Presbyterian church, and I have no regrets about doing that. And I'm not going to speak ill of fellow believers in that church, for they were good to me. But as I say, it's important, young people especially tonight, to take our stand. It's very easy to be cold, it's very easy to try and fit in and to have as trouble-free a Christian life as possible. But the Lord had given me those convictions, and I could not remain in that denomination anymore. And I would pray that the Lord would give the young people of the Free Church those convictions which the founding fathers had, to separate from sin, to separate ourselves onto the Lord Jesus Christ, to love God's word, and to seek to go on with God in these days. As I said, I had that desire, and the Lord gave me those convictions, and the Lord truly blessed me by coming out. There was one verse that the Lord really impressed upon me, and that was Isaiah chapter 41. If you could turn with me there, please, to Isaiah 41, as I begin to bring my testimony to a close. Isaiah 41, the verse 13. You know that Isaiah, in these number of chapters, from chapters 40 to 42, he uses that word fear a lot and help. And Isaiah 41 and verse 13. And it tells us there, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." And let me just leave with you how that verse was impressed upon me by the Lord. When I was working on the pig farm at that time, there was only for a number of weeks I was delivering meal from my boss's brother's farm to an out farm outside Ballylonan, if you know where that is. And there was two verses of scripture on two lampposts. One of them was John chapter 3 in the verse 3. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And this verse, Isaiah 41 and 13. And every time I drove past that sign of that verse of scripture in the tractor, it spoke to me. Every time I looked at it and I thought about it and I prayed about it, and I really believed the Lord was speaking to me through that verse. And so when the time came, I says, "Okay, Lord, I'm taking you at thy word. I'm going to leave my church and I'm going to go to the Free Church." And once I had said that to the Lord, the next time I was on that road, that verse of scripture was not in that lamppost. But yet John chapter 3 and the verse 3 was still there. And I believe it was up there for a good number of weeks or months after that, at least. And so I took that as God's sign and token to me that I was to go forward, to leave the Presbyterian and to join the Free Presbyterian Church in Macrofelt at that time. And I can truly say I was really blessed. Even though I missed folk in my old church, the Lord blessed me with fellowship with other believers, being involved in the open air and the children's meetings, and even involved in the choir as well, getting the privilege to sing in the choirs. And the Lord truly blessed me. You see, dear child of God, tonight, when we seek to go on with God, when we seek to be obedient to God, then he will bless us. And if you want to be blessed tonight, well, we need to be in the very centre of God's will. And that's where I want to be tonight, and I trust that's where you want to be as well. You know, Noel Grant said in his hymn, "Go through with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best." And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 14 and 28, he spoke about those who, if they want to come after him, they must deny themselves and take up their cross. And he used the illustration of a man sitting down and counting the cost of building a tower. And you know, we have to count the cost if we're going to follow Christ. There's a cost involved in whether we follow Christ, or there is a cost involved in whether we reject Christ. I mean, we know that there will be difficulties and burdens for the believer to bear, but that is nothing in compared to being lost in hell for all eternity for rejecting Christ. And even living in God's second best, I want to be in God's place. I want to be in the very centre of his will for my life tonight. And so in 2016, I made the move to Macrofelt and joined. And then in 2017, I applied and was accepted for the college, although I did defer it a year just to try and prepare a bit more financially before going into college. And the Lord has blessed me so much in these number of years. The Lord has been a blessing to me and blessed me all my life, but particularly in these last number of years. And truly, I could not be standing here tonight, but only for his grace. And I praise God for bringing me through these past 3 years of college, and by his grace, in the next year, to finish the course in the will of the God, in the will of the Lord. And simply as I close this testimony tonight, I want to tell you of Christ, the mighty to save, to consider him who loved for me upon the cross, who died for me at Calvary, who rose again for my justification, who lives in the power of an endless life to intercede for me, who's coming one day again for me. And praise God, dear child of God, that is true for you tonight. That is true for you. And I trust and pray, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, as I bring it to a close now, let me urge upon you to come to Christ, to be saved, to be born again by the Spirit of the Lord, and to seek to live for God. You know, we ought to be singing and praying, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. You know, as I get older, I cannot believe how quickly time is going. And you know, we only have one life. And I think it was C.T. Studd said this, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. You know, I could have sought to pursue a career in agriculture, but that wasn't God's will for me. And you know, what would be the point of giving my years to something which was not the Lord's will, and even to die and to have no testimony, or to die and even in a backslidden state? Oh, that I have no regrets. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy. College life is hard, it's difficult, and it's, but the Lord's gracious, the Lord's good, and I can say that the Lord has been good to me, and I know that if you will come to him tonight and trust in him, he will never disappoint you. He's never failed me once, nor will he ever fail me. He will never let me down. And I just say with the hymn writer, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. I have a testimony tonight. What about you? Amen.